I want to thank Robert for singing that last song. That's something that I asked him to do at the last minute, till the storm passes by. In the scripture that was read in your hearing this morning, we heard the words, "Do not be afraid." Powerful words, words that we all need to pay heed to. Do not be afraid. In fact, we're told by God, not only should we not be afraid, but He is the only God. He's the rock upon which we stand. And He said, I don't know of any others. And the fact is, there are no others but God. You know, we live a life day to day, and oftentimes we run into situations where we have fear in our lives. Or maybe we know somebody, maybe that had a problem physically with their bodies, and they want to go out and they want to see a doctor because they're experiencing things that are causing them to fear. And all the worst possible thoughts are going through your head. You know that whatever this is causing you the pain, it's got to be a tumor. It's got to be cancer. It's got to be something life-threatening, and you're afraid. And you make the appointment to see the doctor, but you have to wait 5 days. And during those 5 days, the trepidation and the fear just builds up and builds up, and all the thoughts are going through your head, and you're not really sure. And you ask yourselves question, is this the end of my life? Is this something that I need to prepare for the worst? What about my family? What about my children? What's going to happen to them? Fear causes suffering. Finally, you meet the doctor, and the doctor had done some tests previously, and he just looks at you and he says, well, the news is, it's just a case of indigestion. Wow! A case of indigestion, and all those days and all those nights sleepless, worrying about something that just isn't real. People tend to worry about things. In fact, people tend to get all worked up over nothing. Fear can really do that to you. My daughter talked me into bungee jumping several years back. 150 foot up on a tower. And she says, Dad, I want to do that. And I said, well, if you do it, I will. Really? And I'll tell you what, I'm a pretty brave guy. I'm into doing things, but jumping off of a tower of 150 feet with a little bungee cord or rubber band hooked to your ankles. And when you think about that, you're up there, and all the time before, while they're hooking you up, and you're thinking, man, this is really dumb. I shouldn't be doing this. And your heart starts pounding, and you start thinking, wait, Angela, second thoughts. And you're looking down, and you see that water down there, and the guy says, do you want your head to hit the water? And here's the thing. You get up on that platform, and you're just terrified. Your heart's pounding, you're sweating, and your blood pressure's up, and you're looking down. But wait, just before you jump, the guy says, on three. And he counts one, two, and then he pushes you off. Because he knows on three you're going to grab something. And then you jump. In that very first second, you are terrified. But you know what happens on the other side of fear? It's amazing. What an experience that was. I'll tell you what, I would do it again. And I have. But the problem that so many people today have is that they stand on this side of fear. They allow fear to go before them instead of passing fear right up and getting onto the other side. I want to tell you a little bit here quickly about some fears, and I'll just run these through. There's all kinds of fears. You look at all these different fears, and there's fear people have of the hair on their body. Their fear people have of peanut butter getting stuck to the root. Genuine fear. I'm afraid to have peanut butter stuck on the roof of my mouth. Some people in number four have a fear of their own home surroundings. They literally have a fear of their furniture and fixtures. Some people have a fear of bathing and washing. I know my dog does. Some people have an abnormal fear of work. You know, one that applied today, the nomophobia, number seven, a fear of being out of mobile phone contact. These are genuine fears. Fear of falling in love, fear of excessive sleep, fear of unwarranted, fear of your chin. People are afraid of chins. A fear of holes. I use that one every time I go golfing. Fear of one's own knees. And the last one here, it's hippopotomonstrosis quiptaleophobia. You know what that is, don't you? It's a fear of long words. Listen, I don't want to make light of fears. There are people that are fearful from one time or another, and fears can cripple us. They can keep us from confronting and resolving problems. And so for what little time we have today, I'd like to be together with you and spend time focusing on what great peace, what great amazing release, and what great and tremendous comfort there is on the other side of fear. When we walk without fear, God has said, whoever listens to me will dwell safely. He says you will be secure without fear of evil, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. There's many accounts in the Bible of fear, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we'll look at a couple of those today. Fears that cause anxieties, fears that cause worries and concerns, sometimes over nothing. Fears that cause people to not have control in situations where we should have control. And we want to look at a couple of examples. Let's begin with just what's on the other side of fear. And that would be God. God is on the other side of fear. If we're walking in faith, we don't need to fear, because on the other side of every single fear is God. Your God, the Creator God. Genesis 1:1, He's the one who created all things in the beginning. Psalms 147 and verse 5, David said, "Great is our Lord, mighty is His power, His understanding is infinite." That's who is on the other side of every fear. A God who has infinite understanding and absolute amazing and mighty power. That's who's on the other side of fear. We serve the Lord God Most High. And He's the one that possesses all the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 22. That's our God. Who better to turn to when you're worried, when you have trepidation, when you have anxieties, when you don't have peace? God. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, he tells us, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God is on the other side of your fears. You know, you think about that. There's a fear, and right over here is God. Just go around that fear, go through that fear, and God is right there with you. Trust God. It was the mighty hand of the Lord that brought His people out of bondage, out of slavery, and away from Pharaoh. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 21 tells us that. And that's that same mighty hand of God that has the power to raise up the weak and to increase strength when you feel as though you just don't have any more strength. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. tells us that God gives power to the weak. You ever feel weak? God gives you power. He gives you the power to go past the fear. And He increases your strength when you don't have any. See, we don't need to be afraid. David says, I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me. You know why? They can be all around, but God's greater. You know, let's look, consider quickly Moses in the Exodus. If you look here in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, very quickly, we know what happened in Exodus. We know that the Lord has heard the cries of the people Israel in bondage and going from chapter 1 through 14. And we look at this and we see that in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 41, they were in bondage for 430 years. In chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17, if we just look here, chapter 2 verse 16 and 17, we see now the priests of Midian and the daughters, that's not the right chapter. Exodus chapter 3, thank you. Exodus chapter 3. Go and gather the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord your God and the fathers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob appear to me, saying, I surely have visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt and to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites to a land flowing with milk and honey. Just on the other side of their fears, just on the other side of their anguish, just on the other side of their slavery, their bondage, is a land of milk and honey. But they have to face their fears in order to get there. They want to get on the other side of those fears. Look at verse 19, and we see that the king of Egypt, he says, I'm not going to let them go. Who's bigger? They're afraid of the Pharaoh. They're afraid of the king of Egypt. Who's bigger? He says, I'm not going to let them go. Not even by a mighty hand. So the Lord says, I'll stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst after that. He will let them go. Now, who are you going to listen to, Pharaoh? Or are you going to listen to God? And so from there forward, we know that God brings about the 10 plagues. And out of those 10 plagues of Egypt, the last one is the death of the firstborn sons. And afterward, Pharaoh calls to Moses by night and he says, rise up and go out from among the people, both you and the children of Israel, and you serve your God as you have said. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 31. States that. And so, the people, they left. But you know what? They didn't leave empty-handed. On the other side of the fears, on the other side of that supposed powerful King Pharaoh, on the other side, God changed the hearts of those Egyptians, and they found favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and the Israelites asked the Egyptians for gold and silver and clothing, and they left with a whole bunch of stuff. So they plundered the Egyptians. On the other side of fear, they didn't leave empty-handed. When you step through the fear or around the fear, on the other side is God, and God will never leave you empty-handed. Chapter 13. In chapter 13, the people are feeling really good right now because they're hearing these promises of God, the land of milk and honey, and the commands to teach their children, and the mighty things that God has done for Israel. But in chapter 13, verses 17 and 18, in 13, verses 17 and 18, then it comes to pass that Pharaoh let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. He knows the people are weak. And so he leads them around by the wilderness of the Red Sea. He takes them out by the Red Sea. An army commander would think that was a big mistake, right? You want to be fortified. You want to get in a high place. You want to be in a place where you can protect yourself on every side. And he leads them out to the Red Sea. And he comforts them with a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. And it leads them along the way. What a marvelous time that must have been to see the power of God by hand, day and night. But when you go to chapter 14, then we'll see there everything changes. It all changes very quickly. In verse 5 of chapter 14, the king is not happy. And he tells his people that he sees that all the people have left. And the heart of Pharaoh is hardened, and he turns against the people. And look what happened in verse 4 of chapter 14. In verse 4, it says, God says, I will then harden Pharaoh's heart. And he did. And Pharaoh pursues the people. He readies 600 choice chariots plus. And he gets his whole army together, plus, and he overtook the Israelites near the Red Sea. And when you notice in verse chapter 14 and verse 10, when Pharaoh drove near the children of Israel, they lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very, you see that? They were very afraid. And Israel cried out to the Lord. They were very afraid. Why? Why were they very afraid? Why are they crying out to the Lord? In verses 11 and 12, they accused Moses of taking them out there just to get them killed, like they did back in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 21, where they accused Moses of being the instrument that brought the swords of death to the Egyptians. And in verse 12, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? You're going to get us killed, they said. And they did that before anything happened. They saw all the plagues. But listen, that greatest fear is getting all worked up over nothing. The people are in bondage in Egypt. God sends Moses and Aaron. They see the rod of Moses turn into a serpent. They saw Moses' hand go in leprous and come out clean. They saw the water turned into blood. They saw the frogs. They saw the lice. They saw the flies. They saw the diseased livestock. They saw the boils, and they saw the hail. They saw the locust. They saw the 3 days of darkness. Or maybe they didn't see that. And then they saw the death of the firstborn. All these things. Why are they afraid? They know the mighty hand of God. They saw the mighty hand of God. But it says they were very afraid. Seriously. What do we have to fear? Let's look on the other side of fear. We have God. In verse 13 of chapter 14, it says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So just on the other side of fear there was God. All you had to do is be still. Stand still. And don't try to do it yourself, he says. When he said, you shall hold your peace, he's saying, stand still. Don't you go fight. You don't need to go fight. God's going to fight for you. He says, you stand still. You don't need to run from them, because God's going to fight the battle for you. The great salvation of the Lord is about to be seen in their eyes. And that will bring them peace, at least for a time. God is on the other side of your fear. In verses 30, so the Lord saved Israel out of the hand of Egypt. Verse 31, it says, Thus Israel saw the great work the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. And listen, this is that same servant Moses who in chapter 3 and verse 11, when God called him out, said, "Who am I, Lord?" But he passed through his fears. And so Moses, he's there. And God is going to bring those people home. We know what happened. He raised up his hands, and the power of the Lord caused that east wind to come and blow all night long. And the waters separated, the land became dry, and the people walked right out of their fear. You know, God had put that angel, the pillar of cloud and night that was leading the Israelites, it put them behind the Israelites, between them and Egypt. God does that to us with Jesus, doesn't He? Mm-hmm. He puts Jesus between you and your enemy, the devil. Then He puts Jesus between you and the wrath of God. And listen, He's going to be victorious. And in this case, the people crossed through on dry land. The Egyptians chased after them. God messed around with their chariots and knocked the wheels off and made it difficult. And eventually that night, He had Moses hold up His hands again. And the seas closed. And the Scripture tells us there was victory. It tells us that the Egyptians, the bodies of the Egyptians were on the shore, seen by the people of Israel. God is always good, despite your fears, despite our unwillingness to step out of fear and faith. God's on our side, and He's going to be victorious. Again, He stands between us and the devil, and Jesus stands between us and the wrath of God. Another thing that we find on the other side of faith, of fear, is our faith in the Son of God. Just on the other side of fear is our faith in the Son of God. You think about Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, and you think about what happened, what took place there. You know, they're out in that boat, and the sea turns up, and the winds are blowing, and the rains are coming down, and they're terrified. They're terrified. They are afraid, the Scriptures tell us. And we ask, what are they afraid of? Because we also know that the Master was on board. In fact, He was sleeping with His head on a pillow. But when they came to Him in fear, Jesus just got up and He said, "Peace be still." And then things changed. On the other side of their fear was Jesus. They lacked faith at this point. And Jesus rebuked them, telling them, "Why did you not have faith?" The boat began to fill. "The Lord is with us. What do we have to fear? If God is for us," Romans 8:31, "who can be against us?" Amen. Jesus was there. What was lacking was their faith. But then, you know, when Jesus had been crucified, another time, when people just kind of, they stood in fear. It says that the disciples of the Lord were sitting in Jerusalem, closed in, and they were in fear of the Jews. It says they were assembled in fear of the Jews. John chapter 20, verse 19. Wasn't it Jesus who said to them in that boat, "Peace be still"? Wasn't it Jesus who raised Lazarus from the dead? Wasn't it Jesus who healed the blind, the lame, and the sick, and the mute? Those who couldn't hear, heard? Wasn't it Jesus who walked on the water?
Wasn't it Peter who walked out on the water, but in fear took his eyes off of the Lord, and in the fear took over, and he began to sink. And the Lord reached out his hand, and he took Peter and raised him up. On the other side of your fear, if you're faithful, Jesus is always there, the Son of God. And if you walk in faith, He will be with you and bring you that peace. You know, they didn't understand, but when they did see that Jesus was risen, in other words, Jesus came into that room and showed Himself to them alive. And on the other side of their fear was Jesus. There He was again. And then all of a sudden they have faith. And you know what they did? They went out and they preached Jesus. They preached Jesus. They weren't afraid anymore. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, they saw the boldness of Peter and John as they preached Jesus. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, it tells us that they prayed to God to look at their threats and give your servants the boldness that we may speak your word. They weren't afraid. And they did speak the word of the Lord with boldness. You see, Jesus was with them and Jesus is with you if you've obeyed Him. Will you speak of His marvelous works, not in fear, but knowing that He's with you on the other side of fear? Will you speak of His marvelous love, not in fear? Will you speak of His marvelous salvation, not in fear? Will you tell people about the resurrection of your Lord, not in fear? When you talk about His grace with boldness, not in fear. On the other side of fear is your faith, and it's perfected in the Son of God. Do we have such hope that we will use great boldness of speech? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 12, that's what Paul said. Do we have such boldness that we can access with confidence the faith that we have in Him? Ephesians chapter 3 and 12. Is that what we want? That's what we can have. We're holding fast to the confession of our faith with the boldness of the blood of Christ, entering into the Holy of Holies, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. It's the love of God that's perfected in us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We're in this world, and He's above, but He's in us. 1 John 4 and 17. We can have that boldness. We can, as His church, say that we are not under the spirit of bondage or fear. Do we do that? Or are we still running from the Egyptians? Are you running from the Egyptians? Have we asked God, grant us that we may speak boldly? Or do we just accept the fear? Are we delivered out of the hands of our enemies with the mighty hand of God? And without fear, Luke 1 and 74. Have you received the spirit of adoption that we can cry out, Abba, Father? Romans 8 and 15. Or are we still running from the Egyptians? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is on your side. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Will we let Him? When we let go of our fear, we walk in the light. Jesus, God, they're always with you. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Psalm 27 and 1, David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who will I fear? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? On the other side of fear is God. On the other side of fear is Jesus. And on the other side of fear is a working faith. Psalm 56:11, David said, I will put my trust in you. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Are you living in fear? You remember Elijah in 1 Kings 19? You know, Elijah had just had that Mount Carmel experience where 450 prophets of Baal were killed, and now he's running from Jezebel and from Ahab because they're after him. They want to kill him. The sun's not going to go down until he's dead. And he's out in the hiding in the wilderness. And in verse 4, he says that it's enough now, Lord. Take my life. He's so afraid. He says, I am alone. There's no one else besides me. But you know what? In verse 10 and following, God shows Elijah his great power. He shows him the other side of fear. And he tells him that I have reserved 7,000. 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed to the prophet Baal and who have not kissed the prophet Baal. Elijah was not alone. And you are not alone. You know, you go to 2 Kings chapter 6 and you see Elisha. The Syrians are all around the camp of Israel, and there's thousands and thousands. It tells us that it's a great army. And the servant sees this great army, and he says to Elijah, alas, master, what shall we do? He's looking at Elijah. He's not looking at God. Alas, Elijah, alas, master, what shall we do? Well, Elijah's answer was pretty straightforward, wasn't it? Elijah's answer said, don't fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And he prayed to God, and God opened the eyes of that servant, and the servant looked around, and there were chariots of fires and powerful beings all around Elijah. That's no different than today. If you cross over past the fear, you will stand in the presence of God. And God will never leave you nor forsake you. In both of these accounts, Elijah and Elisha, we need to remember that even when you can't see that army of God, even when you can't see the mighty hand of God, even when you can't even hear His voice, He is still there on the other side of your fears. Last point, the lesson will be yours. Another thing that's on the other side of fear is eternity with the Father and with the Son. And this is all contingent upon us crossing past our fears. I'm afraid to go that way, Brother Dave, because my family and my friends, they've gone another way and I don't want to lose them. I'm afraid to go that way, Dave, because I was brought up to believe something different. But you have to cross past those things and just simply obey God. That's what puts you on the other side of your fears. Are you listening? Are your ears open? Just on the other side of something of fear, something wonderful. It's eternity with God. Too many people today, good people, honest people, sincere people, will never see eternity with God. Because they're afraid of the opinions of their family. Because they're afraid of their opinions of their current church. They're afraid of the opinions of the world around them instead of the Word of God, which is the faith on the other side of fear. We need to hear the plea. Just on the other side of all these fears, God is waiting for you. He's calling you right now, today. He's waiting for you. He's sitting in heaven on His throne, and He's just yearning that you'll come to Him and be in eternity with Him. Just on the other side of your fear is the word of faith. Just on the other side of your fear is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And just on the other side of that fear is a loving Father in heaven. And He wants you. He's calling you. Look past the fear. Find God. Look past the fear. Find faith. Look past the fear and find Jesus, the Son of God. He's saying something to you right now today. You know what He's saying? He's saying, in my Father's. He says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will return again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And listen, you don't want to be Thomas. You don't want to say, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Because Jesus is telling you the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. On the other side of all your fears is Jesus. You have fears. Come to Jesus. In that same chapter, verse 14, verse 27 and 28, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say that I'm going away and I'm coming again. I'm coming back for you. Are you in Christ today? My friends, just on the other side of everything in this world is heaven. It's a place where there's no fear. It's a place where there's no death. It's a place where there's no worries, there's no confrontation, there's nothing evil. It's a place where there's no pain and no sorrows, and it's a place where there are no tears. And listen, fear causes tears. There's no more tears. God wipes away all those tears. It's a place that you want to be. It's a place where God is. Have you passed by faith? Or are you still running from the Egyptians? Will you meet Jesus? Receive the forgiveness of your sins? Meet God? Receive the peace that surpasses all understanding? And then the rest of your life, when fear approaches you, you just pass it by. Just pass it by. Because God's standing right there with you. And you can say like David, whenever I'm afraid, I trust in you. That's what we need to say. Psalm 56 and 3. If you're a child of God and you pass by faith, you've let fear or something like fear get between you and your God. It's preventing you from being with Jesus. It's causing you to be separated from God. Let go of the fear. Repent. God's standing with open arms. Jesus loves you. We love you. We love one another. And we want to stand strong in the Lord. We want to obey the Lord in everything. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe that? We have an invitation today. It's open for anyone who has any need. I invite you to come forward this day before it's everlasting too late as we stand and sing song number 819.